It's time for the Kick Around, the Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is the Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's our two soccer nerds, Andy Swift and Peter Welpton.
Taylor looking for Lowton. And in it goes to the far post. Bidra! The flag stays down. And they've equalised. Would you believe it? 1-1 at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea have dominated chance after chance. But when one finally came for the Clarets, Matej Bidra poked it in.
Howdy ho, P1s, and welcome to today's Kick Around. Saturdays, 2 to 4, today 3 to 5, here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket, where you, the good P1, sits around, talks a little bit of soccer, and all that implies. By the way, you can find us now on our brand new website, thekickaround.com. Hi, if you're new here or unfamiliar, my name is Peter, nice to meet you. And with me is my soccer-talking BFF and a man with a nice hair coif, the amazing Andy Swift.
Hey, Peter. How you doing? You feeling okay? You doing all right? How are things for you
these days? I feel like today's 2-0 drubbing on your home field was the chef's kiss B-side.
Yes.
To the 5-0 insult of the A side of the single a week ago.
I know we'll talk about it later more in depth, but to me, it just seemed worse for some reason.
Because one team essentially played keep away from the other on its home field for incredible stretches of time.
First half was ugly. It was bad.
Yeah, we'll talk Manchester Derby in all of its glory.
And I'm very surprised that the goal call chosen today by our own Sammy was, I guess it was a tribute to Burnley and Josh. And
R.I.P. Josh.
Yeah. Moment, still alive.
A moment of silence for Josh.
Yeah, so I can understand.
I said, Andy, a moment of silence.
Sorry, yes, okay.
For Josh. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
nice.
Good. And considering he's going to go teach third graders, he definitely needs a moment of silence.
Good for him, man. Good for Josh. He's probably listening too, right, Josh? Yes.
I hope so.
He'll text me in like 2 minutes with the stream delay. We'll find out.
You know, Burnley's gone kind of on a bit of a run. Bit of a run.
Yes.
For that club now that he's left.
Yeah, so it's a weird day today because we're starting a little bit late. SMU had a game, but we're still on the air. But when we do this late start thing, we end up with an extra segment of content.
For banter.
This here now.
Let's
banter. We're
going
to banter about. First off, I'm a little, my feelers are a little hurt because not just nobody down in the Victory Plaza general area that I walked through, but nobody here on the show has commented on my beautiful Roy Kent, Ted Lasso, AFC Richmond replica jersey that I'm wearing for the first time today.
You walked into the studio so proud, chest high, and I was like, man, this is weird after your drubbing this morning, but then you sat and you got gloomier and gloomier. I'm like, oh, maybe it's all sinking in. And it's because we just didn't say anything
about the
jersey.
Because you didn't say anything about my jersey.
You're such a nerd.
Come on, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice. I've seen you wear...
Not this?
No, not the updated one, yes.
I don't even have the other one.
Oh, you don't? I thought
no,
you did.
No, this is the only one I've got. I didn't want Dubai Air. I didn't want to promote anything Dubai Air.
No, but banter for sure.
Hell yeah. Who doesn't want a hook 'em up app?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. Now, we do have breaking news, and this is shocking news. Mm-hmm. So the shocking news is that in the last 30 minutes or so, Norwich, the family-friendly, lovable little club.
They can't win.
That is having a lot of problems and got not just their first win today. They got their first away goals today against Brentford.
Yeah.
But just a little while ago, they broke the news that they've decided to fire their manager. They've sacked Mr. Farke.
Norwich City sack manager Daniel Farke after Brentford win. After they win. It had to be it was a done deal even before the game.
Yes.
I'm sure it was.
Now, certainly, if there's going to be a time for clubs, not just in the Premier League, but anywhere, to consider sacking. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to do it because the international break's coming up.
That's why we all thought Ole would be gone.
Well, this weekend. Just keep tapping on your watch. Okay, that could. There's still plenty of time for that to happen. But I look. Norwich is a weird situation. One of that weird club where they're too good for the championship and they absolutely stink in the Premiership.
Yeah.
But that's the guy that has really floated that boat forever. And I'm going to assume, based on the reports that I'm reading online and so forth, that he's not the only one that got sacked, but his entire staff is out too, that the leadership at Norwich has a line on somebody they're really keen on with an entire own staff and they want their own people, and they're just making a wholesale change. And that no matter what happened today, they were doing this no matter what.
The caretaker now is Steve Weaver, who's the head of development.
Right.
And that's not a usual type of caretaker you put in place.
That's like the substitute teachers, the PE teacher kind of thing.
So that means, but before the next match, which is in 2 weeks.
I'm going to guess whoever it is they've got a line on,
Ole.
They've already got something kind of scribbled in.
They have something with Ole.
No.
Well, Conte's gone, because that's another bit of news. He's not available anymore.
And so Spurs hired Conte. He's already managed a game for them, and that was a circus unto itself.
Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about that hiring here when we get to the preview of tomorrow's big game. Let's see, who else is? And then, of course, we now appear to have Eddie Howe lined up for another Premier League game, gig as he was sitting at the stands at the Newcastle match today.
What do you think of that hire for Newcastle? I mean, we like Eddie Howe. Obviously, what he did with Bournemouth is he's did like, some good things.
It feels like the Nuno hiring at Spurs. He's like the second, third, or fourth guy they wanted for that gig.
Yeah, and I just thought they would wait for the first big time, but
the Newcastle hire, whoever it was, unless it was a top tier, unless it was like a Conte or somebody like that. Whoever takes this gig, we all know how this is going to end.
Yeah. Like the players playing right now with the uniform.
All you got to do is make sure that you don't get these guys relegated.
Yeah,
and you keep them in the Premiership, and we'll give you a nice fat check. And a barrel of oil. Right. Your very own barrel of oil.
You're set for life, buddy.
Right. You got gasoline.
Yeah, nice. not a bad gig when you think of it.
You'll get a Phillips 66 card for life or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure in his head, Eddie Howe thinks, all right, this is my chance to get back into the Premiership and prove everybody likes him. Everybody thought he did a great job with Bournemouth.
Many think he might be the next head coach of the English national team.
So, I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy that Daniel Farke has been fired from Norwich, and I'm interested to see what because they lost Buendia, and they really didn't sign a bunch of guys. And they did win today. And somebody was asking me, wow, that's kind of surprising. Nah. People forget that Norwich actually was undefeated against Brentford in the championship last year.
Oh, they were, huh?
Yeah.
They have Brentford's number.
So after getting all sorts of points and victories and good results against some of the biggest clubs in the Premier League, Brentford blow it against the one team that hadn't won a game yet.
It's so funny. But, familiarity. I think part of it is teams are learning about Brentford, and Norwich knows all about him. Anyway, Josh Sargent is on that Norwich team.
At least for now.
And he didn't get called up. By the way, we need to talk about that too, right?
Yeah, we'll talk some men's national team as we move into a giant week as the big game against Mexico in Cincinnati happens this coming Friday. Okay, it's time for me to take my medicine. The Manchester Derby. We'll do it next here on the Kick Around. Attention all soccer-loving P1s. Don't forget to do all of your online soccer stuff buying at soccer90.com. If you got a favorite club, they've probably got something in stock, and if they don't, ask them. They can try and find it for you. And with two big World Cup qualifiers coming up this week, they got a deal. During the two U.S. men's national teams, that's Friday the 11th against Mexico and Tuesday the 16th against Jamaica, if you buy U.S. men's national team gear during those games, you'll get 40% off your purchase online. Now, with the exception of that aforementioned sale, anything else you buy online when you go to checkout, use the code KICKAROUND and you'll get 25% off everything else. And by the way, if you're ever up in Frisco, don't forget to actually visit the store. It's like a circus of soccer stuff right there on Main Street next door to the Hall of Fame. Go check out our good friends both at the store and online, soccer90.com. Welcome back to the Kick Around, late night Kick Around, since we're running an hour behind due to SMU football. By the way, I'm going to express a hot sports American football opinion.
Uh-oh.
I'm an unattached, uncaring former Texas Tech alum. I don't really care about them at all.
Okay.
And I have no allegiances to SMU, but I really want Sonny Dykes to stay at SMU simply because as a Dallas resident, I have really enjoyed that program reconnecting with the city both on and off the field in the way that it has.
You know, TC is going to try to get him away.
Well, did you see the big news on that this week?
No,
Sonny Dykes has a contract extension on his desk from SMU.
I know. I did know that.
TC job's open.
But I like the fact that SMU, for the first time in a long time, actually feels like a Dallas, very Dallas thing.
Yeah. And that's their marketing campaign, too.
Yeah.
So it's working on you.
People didn't tune into the Kick Around to hear me talk about college football. And I don't really care either way. I just have enjoyed the fact that it all kind of feels like a family kind of thing, if that makes any sense. And I'm also trying to avoid talking about what we have scheduled here on the
run. We can't have that.
Yes, it was the Manchester Derby today. And as was highly predictable, Manchester is blue, as they like to say over there, as City pretty much just stuck it in second gear and farted around and did just what they needed to do to win that game 2-0.
They did not stick it in second gear and fart around. City came out.
Once they scored their first opening goal, I don't think City ever really got out of second or third gear because they didn't need to.
First 45 minutes, I beg to differ. I think City were good. They were pressing. They looked so much better than United, and you don't look so much better than the other team if you have it in second gear. Second half, yes. But they were, you know, you go in, you expect City, okay, to out-coach United and maybe out-skill them, but they out-hustled them. And the one thing you want from your team, if you're not going to provide other things, at least hustle.
So it was weird because,
when you're 50s, get stuck in.
Yeah, that would be nice. Here's the thing. We knew that Ole was going to play them in a back three, which is what he has done in the past when he's very worried about kind of shoring up the defense after a run of giving up goals. By the way, do you realize that at this point of the 21-22 Premier League season, Manchester United have allowed more goals at Old Trafford than Norwich have?
Yep.
On their home ground?
Yeah, that's one of the 2 points the other one was that they had more shots today on their own keeper, shots on goal, than they did on the other keeper.
Because of...
They had more shots on goal.
Own goal shots.
On their own goal than they did on the other goal.
Yeah. So playing in a back three is... I always get very nervous for any team that historically plays in a back four that then suddenly try to scramble and change to a back three.
Because the pairing of the two center backs is key. Communication, playing together, and then the training that takes place week in and week out with your center back pairings is so important. It's one of those things in soccer that I'm not often talked about.
Were you watching the pregame stuff before the game started? It was interesting because before the game started, they went out to Old Trafford live. Mm-hmm. And Arlo White and Lee Dixon and Graham Lasso are talking about pregame preparations. And they actually showed video of all five of the United defenders practicing.
What?
Yes. They had all five defenders all within a line of about 15 yards, and the coach was playing balls into them, and they were practicing who was going to come out and head the ball out.
This is today pregame?
Literally 20 minutes before the kickoff of the game. Yes. And now that is a standard drill within soccer circles. But the way that you were watching United do it was very clear that they were, it was not a second nature kind of thing for them. Because, you know, it's you had Lindelof in the middle, and you had Maguire on one side, and you had Bailly on the other, and then you had Juan Bissaka way out on one. And them just running that drill 20 minutes before the game.
Yeah, that would have worried me had I seen
was
that.
Was very weird. Yeah. And it suddenly all very much came clear as they started to do it in the game.
That's funny, because what you just said reminded me of pub league soccer, when, you know, you only get together on Sundays to play your games, and you'd run those crazy little drills before the game because... It's the only
You're
time.
Way more organized for public soccer than we are.
It's the only time. Well, you know, but you know what I'm saying. And watching today, that's the one thing I thought about. It was so bad that the level of play the two teams compared to each other that it looked like pub league soccer when it's like one of those really, really good teams playing a team that doesn't really know what they're doing.
It very much looked like a very early round FA Cup tie where you had a top tier Premier League team playing some sort of like fifth division team. And they were doing everything they could to stay glued together, but they couldn't. And that's a great story, except for the fact the team that playing like a fifth tier team was Manchester United.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And it shouldn't be like that.
Right.
So it was a disaster all the way around. The first goal, Bailly, you know, really nice cross in from Cancelo, comes in. Bailly does this weird kind of like diving thing to try to block it, and he swings at it with his right foot. And it just goes slicing into the goal. 1-0 within the first, 13 minutes of the game?
And those own goals, I mean, it's unfortunate. Those own goals are a result of relentless pressure at the end of the day, right? I mean, it's not like he could have, you know, whatever.
But then from then on, the team just had no confidence on the ball. Instead of trying to play the ball out, well, if they tried to play the ball out of the back, they would turn it over before they got to midfield. I'm 99% sure that when I say to you that it was the 24th, 5th minute of the game before United had successfully retained possession in City's half of the field.
Yeah.
There was only maybe one or two moments in the first 20 minutes of the game where they even got past midfield.
But this was a little bit City, Pep, preparing this team to just... What he said was, be relentless like you've never been before, because they are going to struggle with the ball out of that back.
They did, and he was really smart in how he put the team together. Now, you know, it's funny because in the comeback draw against Atalanta, where Ronaldo did Ronaldo things, I caught a lot of crap on social media because I was talking about how Ronaldo's it's like ice cream, right? Mm-hmm. You just can't help yourself, but you know in the long run that he's not good for you. And that's my favorite analogy about Ronaldo. And a lot of that was exposed today, but it was weird watching the game because, you know, many times when you watch two teams pair up, you think to yourself, all right, who on this team would get to start on that team? Mm-hmm. And when you look at the starting 11s for United and City today, the only player in my mind that starts for City is Ronaldo. And that to me is confusingly hilarious. No, whose place is he going to take? De Bruyne's? No. First off, Bruno's way too analog for Pep Guardiola. He's too not scripted.
Yeah. De Gea? Yeah.
No. Why would he take it? Why would he take?
The guy stood on his head today.
He did
at two goals.
But I don't know if he starts over. Ederson.
Yeah, maybe.
But Ronaldo starts on that team.
Yeah.
He absolutely starts for Guardiola. And you can see, because, you know, people are going to laugh at me, but City does have a bit of a goal-scoring problem over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. That has been an issue for them.
Yeah, they're missing.
And you know
nine.
What? If you had Ronaldo on that team, Ronaldo's the guy that all they'd have to do is just ping balls into the box from wide positions, and he would do the one thing that he is still good at. And that's the one thing United's not any good at.
Yeah. Did you see the one service he did get? The strike? Unbelievable. This guy is just so good when it comes to doing things like that.
Jonathan Wilson over at The Guardian this week wrote a really interesting article about how Jack Grealish and Jadon Sancho, in a weird universe, should swap positions. They should, like, Sancho should be playing for City and Grealish should be playing for United because they would probably find themselves having more success for those teams and those rosters
that reality isn't too far off. I mean, both teams sought the other.
But you know what that is? It's the Ronaldo issue. Mm-hmm. Because Ronaldo would do better if he had a Jack Grealish than he does with a Sancho.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
So, and then the second half comes on. It's the second goal. Oh, talk about Moss Park defending.
That was a little bit of Keystone. Not even Keystone. Just
Luke Shaw. Bad. The ball is crossed in again, far post. Luke Shaw thinks he's going to see it out safely, and Bruno Silva comes in and just taps it in.
And you know, at that point, it was still 1-0, and United, for as bad as they had played, or City as well as it had played in the first half, it was still 1-0, and you just knew it was one of those games where, you know, they're going to count on Ronaldo to give him some kind of magic in the second half, right? You could think, look, this could be 1-1.
Yeah, you could see, before the second goal happened, you could see how United would somehow figure out a way to get a piece
of... Because they have that nine up front, which you don't like, but which, again, you know, sometimes you rely on to do those things.
He's ice cream.
Yeah.
It's tasty.
Which is great. I love that analogy. First time I heard it. The worst insult, by the way, that Guardiola gave to United in that second half. What was it?
What?
And it was a passive insult. No
by
subs.
By subbing somebody off or
zero
that
subs.
He didn't sub anybody
no
on.
Subs. I don't need to sub. We're fine.
Yeah, but I'm surprised he didn't rest anybody, especially with the international break coming up.
He didn't care.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't know. All right. I don't need to sub anybody.
So the question is, does Ole get the hook this weekend? There's a 2-week break. He's immediately talking about Watford, who's their next opponent.
So, heading into this game, I was trying to figure out what would it take for him to be let go after the two results.
So,
the three
in their last two home games, they have lost to their two main rivals by a combined score of 7-0.
Yeah, 0-7
at Old Trafford.
Yeah, at home. Yeah,
that's bad. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah. And they squeaked by to get a result at Atalanta. Right
now, it also just tells you how bad Spurs were at least.
But if United doesn't have somebody in mind, do they?
That's the problem.
You know,
who do you put? I mean, who's out there now? Now that Spurs has picked up Conte, is there somebody available on the market?
Eddie Howe. Wait, no, he's not out there.
That is transformative enough to do that gig. You could go ahead and hire a temporary caretaker.
Yeah. But then why make the move?
Then why make the move? I'll close this. As we talk and ponder the fate of Ole in his position, with this stunning stat that was put on Twitter today by Duncan Alexander. Mm. Listen carefully, Manchester United fans, and anybody who loves to crap on Manchester United. 21% of home defeats for Manchester United in the Premier League since 1992. 21% of all their defeats at Old Trafford in the Premiership over the last 25 years have come under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah,
wow.
That's bad. That's real bad.
He's such a nice guy, though. He really is. He is. He's a nice guy. This is part of the problem. Did you hear his interview, by the way, after the game? Man, you feel bad for the dude.
All right, so Manchester City 2, Manchester United 0. By the way, by the end of this weekend, depending on the results, United could be as low as ninth, I think, in the table. All right, when we come back, we'll step away from the Premier League and take a look at what happened in the Champions League next on the Kick Around. Yeah, it's been a bad week for us Manchester United fans, Andy, so.
What? Bad
you know,
week? Come on. Last week, you thumped those Spurs. You went on the road and Champions League got a point against
Atalanta.
Pretty good Italian side.
Yeah, a whole point, Peter.
A whole point.
Hey, on the road. Right? Point on the road, win at home. That's
what certainly, it certainly salvaged their Champions League situation, because what was really interesting when it began to become a little bit concerning that United was going to lose that game and how it was setting up the idea that somehow Manchester United was going to fall into the Europa League,
I'm sorry.
There was people openly questioning whether or not Ronaldo would refuse to play in the Europa League.
No, of course he'll play in the Europa League.
You think he would?
Yes, of course. But anyway, that man is made to play Champions League. Yeah. Once again, he comes through.
I would assume that if you were a neutral watching United and Atalanta the other day, mm-hmm. I guess it was Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm. if you're a neutral, that was high Champions League entertainment.
Both his goals were in injury time too, right? First half, second half.
Well, so my question, yes, and my other question is, how in the world did they not call the handball against Mason Greenwood in the VAR? Because it,
right,
that never got picked up.
No, UEFA VAR is different than Premier League.
We've
VAR.
Had a little bit of run of this lately.
VAR.
It happened today. Oh, the VAR alarm. Thank you, VAR alarm.
Today, two different VARs, right?
One. So I'm because I've seen this a lot lately, where there are things that are happening that VAR that we're watching on TV and the replays that going, oh, VAR is going to pick that up.
Yeah.
And it was the foul today. Which
game was
it?
Well, the first one was City United. That should have been a PK.
Which one was that?
In the second half, I forget who got it. Was it Silva that got fouled? Somebody got fouled in the box. And it was a PK, and they looked at it and
Was that the Derby game?
Yes.
There was one where the ball rolls out and somebody thinks the ball has maybe it was the Derby game, and the ref just lets play go and says goal kick.
Or corner kick, whatever it was.
Then the replay clearly shows that
yes.
he got him.
Yes.
Was that the Derby game? I thought maybe it was the
Silva.
Chelsea game. There was another game where something like that also happened.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going on with VAR where that kind of thing happens, because it happened in the Champions League, which is a completely different VAR setup,
right.
by the way.
Yes.
So, I don't know, something...
Something's amiss,
I think.
Is it?
Yes, another fun week of Champions League action.
I don't have a ton of happy youthful memories.
Okay. Somebody.
Boy, it's getting worse for you, too.
The fill-in board-up guy found the drop board.
I'm
in big trouble now.
Yeah. There's a ton of them.
Okay, so let's run through this. Did you have a particular game this week that you enjoyed more than any other?
No, and I got to see quite a few of them. I was out of the country, so
were you now?
I was in a country that ESPN carries the rights, so they had a game on ESPN, ESPN2, and the other ESPN option.
Now, maybe the...
Which is better than what we get here, right?
Yes. And for us American fans, the game that probably held many people's interest was Chelsea's performance against Malmo, because it was the return of Christian Pulisic for the first time.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning that game 1-0.
Did you watch that game by any chance?
I saw little bits and pieces
of it. He had a clear goal-scoring opportunity later in the game that he kind of mucked.
Yes. I saw people harping on that with great concern and disdain.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever that means about this upcoming Friday, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about here a little bit later on. The other big result, and this stuck out to me, was this sudden, and we'll get more of this with Daniel Robertson in our Serie A correspondent here a little bit later in the show, but Juventus beating Zenit 4-2, that was a big result for those guys, and Juventus finally suddenly feels like they've screwed and put things together. Bayern ends up beating Benfica 5-2 in their group.
They rolled, and that game was won by a wider margin than the 5-2 goal line indicates.
Barcelona kind of floating along, doing its thing.
They beat a weak team.
Now, we did also get the news this week that Koeman had been sacked, talking about managerial sacks, mm-hmm. and Xavi has signed a deal to return to Barcelona.
So, Xavi...
Does that mean all is well in the world of Barcelona?
No, they have a...
It's all fixed.
It's a big uphill climb for these guys and their budget issues. But if you're Xavi, do you take that job now? Because you're going to be expected to win semi soon.
Here's the thing. I read in multiple reports. I guess he had a $5 million buyout clause in his contract with this Middle Eastern country.
And Barcelona couldn't pay it.
He couldn't afford it. He paid it himself.
Yes. Barcelona couldn't afford it.
So does that... Okay, but here's my question, Andy. Did Barcelona go, hey, look, can we borrow $5 million, Xavi?
Probably, yeah.
And we'll give it back to you over the course of your deal?
They're in bad shape.
Yeah, they really are.
Can we move on
to... Wait a second. how much money would you pay to to be a fly or have a tap on that phone conversation?
Well, I'm sure it happened over drinks, over cocktails at some hotel bar.
Some swanky hotel bar in Barcelona?
Xavi, by the way.
We have a problem here, Xavi. We're really eager to get you to come work for us and everything, but there's this thing in your contract that says we got to pay this Middle Eastern club 5 million, whatever their coin.
You be Xavi. I'm going to ask you. Okay, hold on.
Okay. We need club atmosphere background sound.
Xavi, so the deal's almost done. We just see, you know, the 5 million. Can we borrow 5 million?
Okay.
Can we borrow 5 million?
Quanto million millionaires?
Cinco.
Yes. Cinco.
Yes or no, Xavi? Interest free. Interest free.
See.
Payable in 20 years.
You know when you're bought. You know when the company that wants to employ you is asking you for the money to pay to get you out of your current deal. That's a red flag right off the bat, isn't it?
Do you have Barca friends? Barca supporter friends?
I'm sure I know some.
I have a few.
What was their reaction?
I haven't spoken to them about the Xavi deal, but just the last 2 or 3 weeks, pretty miserable about soccer in general. Just the game, the outlook. They're like not even following the sport.
Because they're just so burned. Like they're just so unhappy. Yeah, and they're just like, I'm just not going to pay attention.
Resigned to their fate.
Wake me up when they're good again kind of thing.
And I'm like, hey, in a couple of years, you guys will be good. And some of them are like, no, man.
You know, they've been signing some of the Ansu Fati and a couple of the Pedri to crazy long-term deals.
They're going
to
be, in 2 years, they're going to be fine.
They'll be a juggernaut.
Can we talk about the Wednesday results?
We will in a second.
Oh, come on. By
the way, Sam, did you like our little acting one-act play?
I'm a big fan of that. The little kick-around community theater. We need to bring that back.
We need to bring that back more.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do that. We'll
All 3 to 5 episodes will include a feature.
But all of our reenactments have to be soccer specific, right?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
We can do one when OGS gets fired.
He's just scared that we're going to do cooking related reenactments. He doesn't want that. We'll leave it to football.
All right. Yes. Good Lord.
What?
Wednesday.
Just wanted to talk about the Madrid game. Real Madrid over the
Wanted to rub it in that Liverpool walked the group of death.
I
watched
it. They look good. Come on now.
Yes, of course
they
look good.
Really good.
The team looks really, really good.
They look good against Madrid.
Atletico did not look good.
No, they did not.
And again, I just want to remind everybody, we all were like, oh my gosh, that's the group of death. Everybody's going to have such a hard time. Poor Liverpool. And they're making absolute Swiss cheese of it.
Yeah, before we talk about PSG and City, look who finally is starting to lose some games in Champions League. Our own very own favorite team, Sheriff Tiraspol, the team from Moldova.
They did lose at home to Inter, and they didn't look very good doing
it. No.
That is a tiny little stadium, by the way.
That romantic story is over. They're done.
Oh, are they? Are they? Where are they in this? I haven't looked at the group.
They've fallen down a third, I think. So.
Well, they'll have a good little European league run, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Man City, licked their wounds from their loss to Crystal Palace and beat Club Brugge. That was the club that you never want to be the club after Man City loses a game.
No.
And so City gobbled that up 4-1.
And PSG tied on the road against Leipzig. So,
did you see Jesse Marsh lose his never-ending American mind early in the game? Mm-hmm. Apparently, Leipzig should have been way up in this game and got some really poor calls from the officiating. And it got so bad that there's video of Jesse. The ball comes over the wall, the boards, and he catches it, and he's so mad. That he almost looks like he's trying to Hulk smash the ball, and then he wants to throw it back on the field. He ends up getting a yellow card for his descent, but it was good to see him kind of lose his mind.
He's been under stress there with his situation, and in fact, I think they're out. They can't
of the Champions
advance
League?
Champions. Yeah, they might get in Europa, but they're out. So
yes. And by the way, Messi didn't play again, and you've also heard that Sergio Ramos may end up having to get that deal nullified with PSG because he's not played for them yet, and I guess his injury situation's so bad that they may end up just trying to annul the deal all the way around.
Where's he going to go? Who knows? Man United needs a couple of defenders. That's all I'm saying.
Man, you were
need some help in the back line. Sam, are you with me here, right? This would be a natural
When Liverpool
fit.
Sucked, I was never this
Whatever.
Rude.
I'm not sure about that.
I was always a very good, solid friend.
I mean, in fairness, Andy is an assassin. We've been over this before on the show, that when his team is good and our teams are bad, he just goes to the throat.
I don't know what you are talking about.
When you called me and asked me what the score of the Liverpool-Manchester United game was because you hadn't gotten your paper.
Assassin.
I was in a very important presentation for North Texas. Give me a break. I had to call my friend.
We need to release that recording to prove it. Do you have that, Peter? We need to release that.
No, I wish I had it. So I was crushed at my soccer-talking BFF would do that to me.
He was being real mean.
All right, games pick up again for Champions League, not until the 23rd, and we'll catch up with those kids at that time. We come back, we'll review the rest of the day in the Premier League's action, including the big upset next year on the Kick Around. We will dig into the curious case of the soccer fan and the missing finger.
What?
Here coming up before the end of the show.
Ouch.
True story. Welcome back to the Kick Around. Saturdays 2 to 4. Today, 3 to 5. This is the special Kick Around at Dark edition.
Behave.
All right. So we did spend a few minutes talking about the big news of the day, which is Daniel Farke has been fired from Norwich.
I have a crazy thought.
After beating Brentford at Brentford.
I have a crazy thought related to that. I don't know. I don't know if there's any merit to this kind of thinking. But what if they made the move because they won? They lose. It's a foregone conclusion. They're on their way down. You just keep Farke.
Oh, now they've got some momentum?
But man, now you gain some points. You might get out of relegation if you make a coaching change and you put somebody in there that can save them. And the fact they won.
No, I see. You know? I think today is a reflection of the fact that they must have somebody lined up or close to a deal, and because it's the international break, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And again, as we noted earlier, if you're surprised that Norwich did this, especially against Brentford, considering how good Brentford's season has gone, Norwich, I believe I'm correct in saying, was undefeated against Brentford last year.
I thought it was.
Remember, Norwich essentially won, like, just cleaned up in the championship.
Yeah, they rolled.
They rolled good. Yeah, for sure.
All
so
right. Well, I thought it would have been a good story had they fired him because they won.
Now, the problem is, as good as the season has started for Brentford, this is now their fourth straight loss for the Bees.
Yeah, they're coming back down to normal.
Things are starting to settle.
Yeah, back down to the middle of the pack.
Speaking of guys that are now on the hot seat, there was a Friday game, and it was at Southampton. It was Aston Villa. Southampton ends up winning that game 1-0.
Yeah.
And for you Villain fans, that now is their fifth straight defeat.
Yeah.
In that span, they have allowed 13 goals.
Quick, don't look at the standings. Don't look at the table. How many points are they from relegation?
Two. Oh, thank you.
Two.
That's two more than I was going to guess.
You were
going to
guess four?
I was going to say four, yeah.
Two.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think many people forget and why Dean Smith may seriously be in real trouble is if you look at just the calendar year of 2021, Aston Villa has played 35 games and they've only gotten, I think I'm correct in saying, 18 points.
Wait, since when?
For the calendar year of 2021.
Okay.
You know, the end, the second half of last season up through the first half of this current season.
Now, they lost their best player.
They sold their best player.
Well, the coach lost the best player.
Got Danny Ings. They got Buendia. I mean, there was a lot of quality they brought in.
They have Mings in the back, which is, he's good.
And they got a fantastic goalkeeper. So, not good things over there. But Southampton, by the way, now have, now on the inverse of that, Southampton, who had kind of a shaky start to the season, and we began to wonder about Hasenhüttl's situation, they've now won three of their last four and a draw in there. So, they're undefeated last four, and now they're up to 13th place on 14 points. Now, there was a significant other result today. And this has been happening. We saw Crystal Palace go to the Etihad and beat
City last week. We saw the draw with Liverpool, mm-hmm. not too Brighton. Many, against Brighton. And now Chelsea dropped points at home against Burnley.
Yes. You, way to go, Burnley. This was big. This was big for City, for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because Chelsea was starting to a little bit run away with it.
Well, Burnley needs results. But Burnley always seems to figure out a way to put things together just enough to kind of do this damage in weird spots. Mm-hmm. So going to Stamford Bridge and doing this is kind of in the Burnley recipe every season. Not specifically Stamford Bridge, but some big club always ends up farting away a result at home against Burnley.
I think they did it against Liverpool last year.
Yep.
Were you watching this game?
I was watching this game.
Burnley could have scored a second goal. Like a couple of times there towards the end of the game.
Yeah, Vidra had an opportunity. Pope plays a ball direct from the top of the box straight to Vidra, who oddly is able to sneak by the two center two of the defenders.
And then slows down, right? Is that
well,
the
no, I'm talking
about
the one he like one-timed it and he just hit it off course.
Okay, right. There's a time that he just could have like stepped on it and to get past the Silva.
You know, the thing is, up until the point Burnley scored, I was pretty convinced Chelsea was going to just comfortably see this one out. Not that they were going to win it 4-0 or anything, but by the time Havertz had scored, it was 1-0. Chelsea was looking comfortable, but then Burnley just kind of chipped at it and got the goal in the 80th minute, and then suddenly Chelsea looked a little nervous.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Pulisic came on.
All right, so I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. I want to see. I want to test if you and I have our Wonder Twin powers in sync here.
Okay, probably not.
So Christian Pulisic comes on for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing that came to your mind?
Don't get injured.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
Be careful.
I was like, oh, here comes Christian Pulisic, who will proceed to get injured just with minutes left before he has to return to the United States to play against Mexico.
Right, Luckily, you just almost knew it was going to happen.
He did not. Yeah. No, he didn't. Although he did, he ended up getting drawing a foul, and when the guy stepped across him to commit the foul, I thought, "Oh, there
this
it
is. This is the one."
There we go.
Yeah,
Kristen, don't dribble into a buzzsaw of defenders.
At the same time, we needed him to get a few minutes in, right? Because he needs to kind of get in shape.
Yeah,
in game shape.
So Chelsea ends up dropping points today, 1-1, hockey sticks against Burnley.
Because the next game he plays is against Mexico.
That's right. And we'll talk about the big game coming up here in a little bit. Now, Chelsea does end up holding on to their first place spot, but with their dropping points and City beating United, that does close the gap back down to 3 points, as Chelsea has 26 and City has 23 points.
If Chelsea wins that game, they're up by 5 against City, and then Liverpool playing tomorrow against West Ham. That's a tough game.
Yeah.
That could have been something.
The other result today, Crystal Palace. Patrick Vieira has that team rolling. They are up to 9th place now. They've had a lot of draws, but after going and beating Liverpool, Crystal Palace host Wolves. Wolves, by the way, were starting to look pretty good themselves. This is their first loss in a bit in their last four or five games. They did lose at Selhurst Park today 2-0. A really nice goal from Wilfred Zaha that actually was initially called offside that they overturned and said it was a goal. And then Connor Gallagher, a kid on loan from Chelsea, continues just to turn in great performance after great performance for Crystal Palace. And Patrick Vieira, the guy that I thought was going to bunk this up, has them looking really good.
That was going to be my question to you. Are you a bit surprised by all this? I am.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about this. Yeah. It's got to be we've talked about it really being the most surprised story of the season. Is there a bigger surprise either way?
Leicester?
Leicester.
Leeds, 2 points from relegation.
I would say Crystal Palace being in ninth at this point is a bigger thing for me.
Maybe that's the positive surprise and Leeds being the negative surprise. How's that?
And then the late game today was Brighton hosting Newcastle, and Brighton does end up pulling that one out. It ended up being a 1-1 draw. It got weird at the end when Brighton's goalkeeper got red carded within injury time, and they had to put Lewis Dunk in goal for the last 3 or 4 minutes. Sanchez came out to try to clear a ball, and Callum Wilson got around him, and VAR decided that he had gotten clipped. So I always love seeing the field, because they had made all their subs. I always love seeing the field player come in to have to play goal. He did not have to make a save, by the way.
Name the only team in the Premier League not to win a game yet.
That would be Newcastle United.
That's the Saudi Arabian-owned Newcastle United.
Eddie Howe was in attendance.
Yeah, he's the next coach.
He's the new coach. They'll
guide him and save him from relegation.
He's the third or fourth choice, but he will be the new coach.
Who will be their coach if they get relegated? Who will they bring in?
All right, so here's the lineup for tomorrow, because there is some amazing soccer to watch tomorrow. At 8 a.m., there are three games, Arsenal hosting Watford. This will be an interesting test of where Arteta has this team. They've been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. They're undefeated in a bit, and everybody's feeling good, kind of the opposite of what happened to United to this point.
You know, if they win, they're in the top four, pending what West Ham does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it is the return of Antonio Conte in the Premier League as Tottenham travels to Goodison Park against Sam's Everton, which is a team in a bit of its own mess, as Rafa Benitez has everybody's turned on him.
Fire Rafa.
They absolutely need a result here.
Everton's a dumpster fire. What do you think of Conte to Spurs?
Oh, you're the worst.
It's one of those weird deals where you're aware that he signed only an 18-month contract.
Yeah.
And apparently that was his request.
Yes. Right. He's going to be gone short term, right? Two years max.
He will win something for Tottenham. I don't know what it is.
It's still a good hire, I think.
It may just be what
After
they need
what's
to
happened?
Reset stuff.
Yes.
And then the other 8 o'clock game is Leeds hosting Leicester, which should be an interesting game unto itself. But at 10:30, it is a matchup between Jeff Catlin's West Ham United and Liverpool.
Yay.
This is third versus fourth.
Look, the Hammers are at home.
Hammers are playing real good.
They are. Now, Liverpool does play well on the road over the last season and a half.
Here we go, Sam.
But this is a tough... No, what am I... I'm saying Liverpool plays tough on the road.
Did you know that Swift translate in from Chilean into sandbagger?
You know, I had an idea, but I was pretty sure just by his actions...
I mean, you wouldn't think that a single syllable word like Swift would translate...
You're not giving the Hammers a chance here.
It should be an interesting game. It would not surprise me if it ended up being a draw.
No, it's going to be a high-scoring game. 2-2,
well, it could be 3-3.
Yeah.
I said a draw.
Four. Oh, a draw. Okay.
Yeah.
Five.
It could be, you could still be high scoring and
two teams score the same amount of goals. I think we're going
to
see that kind of game.
You think the defensive end of the game will be that bad?
I think both teams will attack. I think both teams are going to...
That's the world-class soccer punditry that people come to the kicker out for.
I think both teams attack well, and both teams can... Look, Liverpool's missing people in the middle of the park. They're having issues with their midfield, injuries and such.
Mm-hmm.
And I think West Ham can exploit that.
Okay.
And West Ham's defense is, let's see, where are they at?
There's a part of me that thinks that you would feel relieved if Liverpool lost this game.
Why?
Because you expect them to. Like, you almost expect them to lose this game.
No, I am hopeful for a result. I dread a loss. Of course, I'm a neurotic supporter. What do you want me to...
You're an erotic supporter?
Neurotic.
Oh.
It's better than the
Check
other one.
Check the tape.
That would be very weird. Yeah, it is pretty amazing. So if Liverpool was to win, they would leap Man City into second. But if West Ham was to win this game, they would be tied with Man City.
Yes.
For second at 23 points.
They're a good side.
That would be... now, they'd end up being technically in third because City's got them on goal differential by quite a bit.
Yeah, but in terms of points.
But that would be another amazing story that David Moyes, in theory, could have West Ham at the international break in November in essentially second place. That would be a story.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd probably get bonuses from Jeff Catlin.
Show extension.
All right, so that's the day's action in the Premier League. When we come back, it's time to look at what is happening Friday. It's U.S. versus Mexico, and we'll discuss it next here on The Kicker Room. If you just happen by chance to walk by me today and see me sporting my Ted Lasso jersey, my Roy Kent Ted Lasso jersey, don't forget you can buy those They're on sale over at The Kickaround, thekickaround.com, where our friends at E6 Sports are selling not just the home jerseys, but the away, too.
You can be like a little kid, wear it to bed.
No. And you can also get your Kickaround t-shirts there, too. All right, welcome back to the aforementioned Kickaround. We are here today running a little bit late due to SMU football. I don't know if we will be here next week. It's also an international break that we're getting ready to walk into, which means the biggest game in our region is about to come upon us.
The Clásico of North America.
The Clásico of North America. One of the greatest sporting nights of my life. When I went to Columbus and watched the original 2-0, U.S. beat Mexico 2-0 in Columbus at the original Columbus Crew Stadium on the coldest night I can ever remember.
That was the first of three straight 2-0 wins at home,
I think,
right?
That's, yeah, qualifiers. I think that's how that worked out. Now, for reasons I've still not been explained to me, the U.S. chose to play against Costa Rica in Columbus at their new stadium this year, and they're playing the game against Mexico in Cincinnati at their even newer, more kick-ass stadium. Have you seen the stadium in Cincinnati?
I've just seen the on social media
that
pictures.
That is an absolute
video.
Trash fire of a team, but that stadium is so... It's the nicest soccer stadium in the United States.
Could this their MLS team be the worst franchise start to any MLS team in history?
When you throw in that they spent $15 million for a Brazilian striker named Brenner, who I think has scored 3 goals this season, yes, I would say that.
Who we called was going to be a bust when they signed. Okay.
So Mexico is coming to town. The game is on Friday at 8 o'clock. It's on ESPN2. The roster is out, and it is filled to the brim with guys that somehow, some way have FC Dallas ties to them, including Ricardo Pepi and Jesus Ferreira.
25% of the players on this roster played in the FC Dallas Academy.
You just made Dan Hunt giggle with glee and pat himself on the head like a Teletubby.
That's pretty amazing, though.
It is. It is quite an accomplishment. It also makes it very confusing why the stadium is always half full when you were able to do that, but that's another story for another day. Are you, at this point, Andy, with the situation, because currently Mexico's in first with 14 points. The U.S. is in second with 11 points.
Yep.
Canada in third. Your Canada
with
10 points, and then Panama with 8. So after this game, they will essentially be halfway through the qualifying process.
Right.
How many points do you think it's going to take to nab one of the top three automatic qualifying spots for Qatar 2022?
18.
Only 18?
Yeah.
So you're saying the United States needs 7 points out of their next
you're
7?
You're talking about the top, including the fourth place
playoff? No,
or just
third,
one of the top three?
Top three is the automatic fourth. You got to play the playoff.
20.
20 points.
Yeah.
So they're 9 points away from them next 8 games.
They're in good shape. For all the angst and all the, you know, brouhaha about Berhalter this and players that, at the end of the day, they're sitting second place almost halfway through the process, right?
Yes. Now, when you look at the roster, the 25-man roster that was called up earlier this week, there were a couple of surprises on there. Maybe the biggest surprise was who was missing. Sergiño Dest of Barcelona is not in the list.
Yeah, injury, though.
He does have a bit of an injury, although he was on the bench for the last Barcelona game, and so I guess there was some question as to what. I do wonder if that is completely about the injury or the fact that these games may not be ideal situations for Dest.
For sure. Like, you know, when you're building your roster, you're looking at the window, and this window is not a three-gamer.
It's a two-game.
Yeah.
Home against Mexico, away at Jamaica.
Right. So home game against the toughest opponent, on paper at least, and a road game. So the opportunity to like possess more and attack more, probably it impacts that style of play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, Dest, who is a good attacking defender, but not a good defending defender, right?
Right.
probably makes him more of a, not a liability, but you want other kind of defenders on your roster.
If he had some sort of niggling injury, I'm sure that probably made it easier for Berhalter not to call him up if he had any reason not to.
Now, you're looking at counterattacking as well. Now, I don't know how it'll be in Jamaica because they're playing in front of an empty stadium too, so maybe that's a little bit easier on the road to get a result that way. You still have to travel and play in a field that maybe not up to standards. But Reggie Cannon being included, I think that's a little bit of a surprise because it's his first call-up, right, to a qualifier?
So far, yes.
Yeah. So he's a defender that can get up the wing, and he's ideal in a counterattack type situation. Right?
I would be yes, but I'm going to guess that Yedlin's going to get the start. I think he's probably the most obvious player to start.
But you're adding depth too,
sure.
You know, and if Yedlin goes down in practice, then you have Cannon.
Now the other player that is not on the list is John Brooks, the center back, who's had a really shaky run of games for the national team. He actually had a really self-effacing, I think I'm using that phrase correctly, self-critical kind of announcement where he said, look, I get it. I understand why he didn't call me. I've not played well. I've not been playing well for my club. I really need to focus on getting my head right with ball. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really smart that he did that and probably won a lot of fans over who have been a little worried about him of late.
In the back, what is your favorite center back pairing? And to me, Miles Robinson is a lock, you know, as one of them.
My guess it's going to be McKenzie, who has not been playing a lot for Genk,
right.
But I would love to see Chris Richards, who's the young FC Dallas former FC Dallas player that got sold to Bayern, who is currently playing for Offenheim. He really is quite something, but he's so young.
Yep. But that to me, that's who I'd love to see, and I don't know if it's gonna. I don't know if it's
Walker Zimmerman's the other one.
I think it'll be Walker Zimmerman and Robinson against Mexico.
Yeah, Zimmerman's having a very decent season for Nashville, by the way. And then we are going to get a really nice trio in midfield. Tyler Adams, who luckily survived a rather bad tackle today and is going to be there. Weston McKennie, who has been playing out of his mind of late for Juventus. Whatever happened in that weird incident with the national team back in the original window with all the discipline stuff, he really has rounded out his form and been playing well. So he comes to the camp in about the nicest form he has been in quite
and
some time.
And focused.
Yeah.
You saw that in the last window. You saw McKennie focused in the last window. Remember when he wasn't going to necessarily get called back, but then because of injuries, Berhalter called him back.
Yep.
Did you see kind of the intensity in the eye? You could notice something about him.
And Yunus Musah is also in there. Now, in the forward line, the surprise out of this, out of all the people listed as forwards, the only one that is actually a natural, true number nine type striker is Ricardo Pepi. That's it. Everybody else, Brendan Aaronson, Paul Areola, Ferreira, Christian Pulisic, and Tim Weah are all more kind of winger-ish type players.
Well, Ferreira, I would say more of withdrawn nine more than a winger.
Yeah, and he's played as a nine for Berhalter before.
So I think we're seeing Pulisic and Aaronson up front on the wings with Pepi starting. I mean, right? I mean, it's Pepi.
So just can we take a moment to let our brains soak in the fact, because was it even 3 months ago that if I had looked at you and said Ricardo Pepi is going to be your starting striker in the U.S.-Mexico game, you would have laughed at me.
Yeah.
Ricardo Pepi, at the age of 18, is going to start as the nine for the U.S. men's national team against Mexico in the United States for a World Cup qualifier.
4 months ago, he was undeclared which country he would represent.
Yes.
Right.
That is crazy.
And in midfield, I know we talked about the midfielders. Adams, McKennie, and Busio?
Yunus Musah.
Musah?
Musah will be the
Busio's
third.
Busio's playing really good.
Man, but Busio has... I have not watched him play much in Serie A.
Yeah.
But he does have a bit of a softness to him that I think for the Mexico game, you're going to want Yunus Musah.
Plus, Musah has been playing really well with the national team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that game is on Friday at 8 o'clock. I'll just say this. There are tentative plans for there to be a watching party that you and I would be the host of.
Well, yes.
And as soon as we can officially announce it, in fact, let me just look at my phone and make sure that
Mr. So-and-so did not.
Are we going to cook some? Are we going to like create canapes and cook up dinner like that? That kind of host.
I don't have any official word.
Tuxedos.
It'll be indoor.
Okay.
There'll be a massive giant screen to watch it on. I don't know what it'll cost to get in, if anything. I just know there'll be there's liquor and beer at this location.
Hors d'oeuvres?
I maybe an hors d'oeuvre or two. Maybe popcorn. I don't know.
Okay.
But it'll be a kick-ass good time, Andy.
Yes. Look, it doesn't. This is our region's biggest game.
This is the biggest
game. This is.
Here's the other thing to think about. This might be the last World Cup qualifier against Mexico and the United States as you know it, because the U.S. doesn't have to qualify for the next World Cup because they are the host nation.
Right.
And then after that, it may be that weird
like
once
64
every
four team.
Well, every 2 years kind of thing.
Right.
And I don't know. And nobody knows how that qualifies. So you really need to drink and soak in this reality that this may be the last kind of magic U.S. national team versus Mexico nemesis hate thing.
Well, there's one on the road coming up.
But here in
the
United States.
Right. So your prediction for this game, because I think they are going to win this game. I think this is my fear. 3 points at home, and then they have a letdown in Jamaica. That's a little bit of a fear I have.
I think the U.S.-Mexico game will be 1-1.
Oh, you do?
And I think they win in Jamaica 2-0.
Man, you're the opposite of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, man, they come in and take care of business here at home against Mexico.
But the Mexico game will have controversy.
Oh, like VAR?
Like American fans will be very upset at how the draw occurred, whether the Mexico gets a penalty kick on a bad handball call, or the U.S. should have gotten a goal that got called back over a shady VAR. You know, because there's no VAR.
Oh, there's
remember,
no VAR.
We're VAR-less. So that's my prediction.
No VAR.
Now, what's your prediction? You're the neutral here.
2-1 U.S. at home, and then a 0-0 or 1-1 draw on the road in Jamaica.
Hmm. Okay. I like it.
Nope.
I like
Sam,
it a lot.
What you got?
3-2 USA over Mexico.
High scoring.
2-0.
Sam, when was the last time there was five goals scored in a U.S.-Mexico game?
I don't know, but there's going to be five scored next week.
Okay. By the way, the Jamaica game is a weird one, too. It's on Tuesday, the 16th, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No fans.
Now, why is that again?
Because Jamaica.
They say bad words in the stadium?
No. Jamaica has very strict protocols for COVID because they rely on tourism. So they've locked everything up to keep the tourism coming in. So they have very strict protocols.
So U.S.-Mexico Friday at 8 p.m. on ESPN2. Jamaica, USA Tuesday at 4 in the afternoon. And this will make everybody happy. It's on Paramount Plus. And only, unless you want to watch it in Spanish, then it's free on one of the Spanish. Which one is it on? Univision or Telemundo?
Depends. This would be Telemundo because it's U.S. national team. I don't know.
All right. Everybody get all your American spirit going because this is the big one. U.S.-Mexico Friday at 8 p.m. All right. When we come back, we'll dial up the phone and get our good Italian friend Daniel on the phone to talk Serie A here next on the Kick Around. It gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. Got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Just a thought about the U.S. men's national team Mexico game.
Yeah.
Don't forget,
yeah,
Mexico's two games in this window are away at the U.S. and then away against Canada, a team they've already dropped points against.
Yes.
So that's a tough window. That's why I think they'll really go out and try to get the points in the United States.
Funny you mentioned that because they will play that game in Canada. And Edmonton! Forecast for Tuesday, the whatever date that is. High of 32, snow flurries in the evening.
Tata might be in trouble. Who knows? All right, let's dial up the Ticket Buyers Barricade hotline and find our little Italian friend, Daniel Robinson.
Gentlemen, ragazzi.
Ciao.
Ciao, Daniel.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Daniel is our Serie A correspondent. And I'm hoping, Daniel, you're going to bring me all sorts of... I have this sense that Weston McKennie is in the finest form of his little career, and he's going to just ball out in Cincinnati for the United States because he's doing good things for Juventus.
Guys, I have some very good news for you, and that is everything that you just said is true. Weston McKennie, I mean, when we talked about 3 weeks ago, I said, he's a squad player. He's doing fine at Juventus. A switch has been flipped on this guy, and he was the man of the match again today. Sorry, guys, we beat Fiorentina. It wasn't a pretty performance, but 3 points is all that matters. It was a win that Juventus had to have. And Weston started again. He played 90 minutes in a game of that significance. Says a lot. And this guy is playing really, really well right now.
Yeah, he had a really good performance midweek in Champions League too, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's playing 90 minutes right now. He's got goals. Today he didn't score, but in his previous two Serie A games he scored. Now, look, if you bleed Bianconero like I do, you're not so worried about his goal scoring. Juventus lost both of those games. But if you're a USA fan, all you care about is that this guy is on the field on Friday in, yeah, Cincinnati for some reason instead of Columbus, and that he's balling out. That's what you care about, and that's what he's doing right now.
Is he playing the six? What is he playing right now with Juve, or more of an eight?
Yeah, he's playing more of – I mean, it's a hybrid role right now, and I think Allegri is starting to push him a little bit farther up the pitch, and that's where, you know, Weston is at his best when he's crashing the box late, getting those headers, you know, finishing chances. He hit the post, by the way, in midweek against Zenit as well. He almost had goals in three games in a row. And, yeah, he's just finding his form right now. And, you know, something I was thinking about was, okay, let's think back to that last Mexico game. He was probably the USA's best player in that Nations League win over Mexico. And, look, if you're a USA fan, which obviously everyone just about listening to this show is, that's the headline, is that Weston is heading into this game in fantastic form.
I'm pleased to hear you report that, Tiano, because I was a little angry at Weston, so he's got a lot to make up for.
You were very angry, Peter.
Very. I was very, very unhappy with young Weston. So if he shows up and scores a goal or does good things against Mexico in Cincinnati on Friday, maybe we'll finally get around to patching all that over. What else is going on in the Serie A that we all need to know about, sir?
Well, guys, tomorrow is the Derby della Madonnina. At San Siro, I mean, it doesn't get any more Serie A than this, right? AC Milan versus Inter Milan. Milan, and by the way, for those of you who are not so much Serie A fans, Inter Milan is Inter, and AC Milan is Milan, okay? So when I say Milan, no one says AC, okay? You don't say FC. No one says AC. AC Milan is Milan, and Inter Milan is Inter. So Milan is having a fantastic season. They're really switched from what – so Juventus has been terrible in Serie A, and they're just destroying the Champions League. They've already qualified for the quarterfinals. They beat Chelsea, whereas Milan has been incredible in Serie A. They've only dropped about one game, and they've been terrible in Champions League. But they're in great form right now. And, look, if they beat Inter, they're 10 points up on Inter. And you don't win Serie A in November, but if you fall 10 points behind, that's a big stretch. So – Inter needs this one much more than Milan, but they've got Zlatan on the field. They've got Giroud on the field. It's going to be one you can't miss. 1:45 kickoff at San Siro. That's the one you circle.
Well, one day will we use this segment for you to explain how they made the decision in the city of Milan to allow one team to use the actual name Milan and the other one just to refer to themselves as Inter?
Yeah,
because that seems like somebody lost a bet or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's Los Angeles FC and there's the Galaxy, right? So I guess we can kind of try to think of it that way. I don't know, but yeah, definitely Inter and Milan. And by the way, you've got to give Inter a lot of credit because they sold half their squad this off season. They, you know, you look at Lukaku sold to Chelsea, Hakimi
coach left,
PSG, their coach left. Well, they've basically resurrected the body of Edin Dzeko, and he's on the field for them. He's playing. He's scoring goals right now. So, you know, you've got Zlatan Ibrahimovic versus Edin Dzeko in 2021 in a significant game. I mean, you got to love it.
How is my boy Vidal doing with Inter? He's playing, right? He's usually starting.
Yeah, look, you still, in a big game, this guy, in the smaller games, he can definitely lose his focus. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that mm-hmm. from time to time. But is there a guy you want on the field in your defensive midfield in a big game more than Vidal? I'm not sure. Now, is he going to get a red card? We'll see. Him versus Zlatan. I mean, that's another reason like to love this game tomorrow.
All right. Now, Andy and I are hardcore Fiorentina fans. And I'm looking to you, Daniel, to let me know what the status of Dusan Vlahovic, their star Serbian striker, who I guess has told him he doesn't want to sign a new deal with Fiorentina, which breaks our hearts because he's like literally the only guy that scores goals for our team currently. He's a big guy. I think he's the kind of guy a lot of teams in bigger clubs would love to have. Do you have any sense as where he's going to end up? And will it happen as quickly as the winter transfer window?
Well, it's really just a question of he's not going to sign a new contract. You know, Fiorentina has an American owner, Rocco something. I forget his last name.
Pandola?
Yeah.
Rocco.
Yeah, wow.
That's not Rocco. It's Rocco.
He's a New Yorker, so he's already said Vlahovic, he's not going to sign his new deal, and he's playing games, and he's a villain. But look, they have to have him on the field. He didn't score today, but he scored a hat trick in the win over Spezia last week. He scores in basically every game for them. He's 21, Serbian forward, and it's just a matter of if they want some money for him, they're going to have to sell him in January. So try and get as high up in the table as possible to secure the place in the league next season. And if they want to play hardball, he's going to go somewhere else, and it's probably going to be Juventus, the kings of the free transfer, who have a gaping hole at center forward. Alvaro Morata, I mean, come on, he's not a starter at Juventus if we want to win the Champions League, right? Vlahovic is in the class of those young forwards of Haaland and Osimhen and you know, probably a top five under 23 forward in the world. That's going to be the biggest thing. Now, hey, let's think about Newcastle right now. They've got some money, right?
Yes, they do.
They've got some money to throw around. I'm sure he wouldn't mind going to the Premier League. Keep your eyes peeled on this one. It just depends on if they want some money for him or not. I'm sorry to tell you guys, though, he is not going to be wearing Viola in 2022.
I don't think any of us expect that he will. So,
hey, Daniel, I have a very important Fiorentina question for you.
Sure.
So most people want to travel to Florence for the culture and the art and the museums, and Peter probably to watch Fiorentina. I want to go so I can have bistecca a la Fiorentina. Now, we live in Texas. You've had steak here. It's very good. Is it worth a trip to Florence just to have this bistecca a la Fiorentina? Is it that special?
Oof. That's a great question, Andy. And here's my problem, and I've talked about this before, is that you're so close to Reggio. I'm a pasta guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're so close to Reggio Emilia and the amazing pastas in Bologna. I've talked about this on the show before, that for me, I got to get off the train in Bologna. I'm not going to quite make it to Florence, which is basically an American city, okay? It's full of Americans by now. So twice I'm going to leave Pete. You... Uh-huh. I'll leave you with that one.
All right.
I've had it there.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
Amazing. Yes.
He's had it. Okay.
I've had it.
What
is.
Makes it special? Right. It's the cows, right?
Yeah,
special cows.
Some sort of special cows. All they right. Get like hand massages every day.
I will have bistecca
like
alla Fiorentina.
The best stuff right, in Fiorentina right. Is the gelato, by the way. Because
you keep saying that.
Oh, God, so good.
But now I know why you like it.
All right,
Florence.
So the other game tomorrow, if anybody is up at early, early break of dawn at 5:30 in the morning, it is Venezia hosting Roma. Jose had another bad run-in with Norway this week as Roma dropped points in the UEFA Conference League. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, and they played their starters too. He wasn't messing around. I think he wanted to send a message that
oh, he
that
sent a message,
a
all right.
And unfortunately, no fluke there. Played the starters, got very little out of it, and now they've got a tricky game going to Venezia. And yeah, I mean, if you want to wake up at, well, I guess it'll be 6:30 with the time change tonight. So we'll get that 1 hour back. You can see Gianluca Busio, get an idea of how he's playing. I mentioned on our last show, he's been the best player for Venezia this season. So, you know, I don't think he was called in for the national team.
He was.
He is.
Yeah, he
yeah.
is.
Oh,
he was.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter
well,
doesn't want him to start, though. He thinks he's soft.
If you're looking for a guy, though, to make an impact off the bench, even against Mexico, I mean, you've got these two guys in Serie A right now. Okay, Weston's going to start. But Busio, I would look out for him. He's playing very well. He's creating chances for Venezia. Without him, they'd be in tough shape right now. As we said, Tessman not playing so much, but yeah, that's a very intriguing one for a 6:30 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, if it hadn't been Jose Mourinho, there is a scenario and a universe in which a Serie A game between Venezia and Roma would have featured two former FC Dallas players, because Brian Reynolds is on Roma, but he's never going to get to play again after that game in Norway.
He's
going to get loaned out or sold or something. All right. Well, Daniel, thank you once again for your energy and knowledge on all things Serie A, our friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon. Buon pomeriggio.
All right.
Ciao, Daniel.
Ciao, Daniel. Ciao, ciao. By the way, it's lots of fun to say ciao when you're in Italy. It's so much fun.
Ciao this. Ciao.
All right. When we come back, it's the return of everybody's favorite soccer segment known as The Dribble here on The Kick Around. We have somehow managed to find ourselves once again in the final segment of another episode of The Kick Around. By the way, it was earlier this week I stumbled across a classic piece of internet bloggage from Eric Celeste that I posted over at The Kick Around on Twitter, because it is an origin story about The Kick Around. So I had forgotten this. When you and I first did World Cup Kick Around back in 2014, mm-hmm. and we had had that really fun run of about a month of just doing that nightly show.
The Landmine Guys.
The Landmine Guys and Mike Reiner and us getting to do ticket theater out in the plaza during the U.S.-Belgian game. Eric called and interviewed me about how we ended up getting the show.
Yes, I remember,
and he wrote an article about it in D Magazine. Yeah. And somewhere, somehow, I stumbled across that the other day. And you, if you're unfamiliar with the origin story of how soccer talking got on the ticket, that's really kind of a good way to do it. And you can either find that link on our Twitter account, and I've also linked to it on the About the Show page over on our website, thekickaround.com. It is time now for America's favorite soccer segment. We call it The Dribble. Attaboy. All right, Andy.
Josh who?
FC Dallas fired their coach, Luchi Gonzalez, several weeks ago, a couple months ago, I don't remember. And word started leaking around that he was under consideration to take the open U-20 gig for the men's national team,
right,
which has been vacant for a while.
Because they wanted to make you move to Chicago, right? That's part of the prerequisite.
And I thought, man, that's like the perfect place for Lucci. Because that's his
jam.
Wheelhouse.
That's his jam.
Well, apparently Lucci said, thanks, no thanks. I'm going to guess, I'm speculating here, part one of that is that he doesn't want to have to move to Chicago, because the new regime within U.S. soccer has this rule that says if you're going to be a member of the coaching of staffs of any of this, if you have to live in Chicago.
Which is weird for the under-20 national team coach.
Yeah. And we found out that along with other people that had been considered that all declined the job, after hearing Lucci say no, they made the odd decision to hire Lucci's former FC Dallas associate, Mikey Vargas.
Associate assistant coach.
Assistant coach. Now, Mark, which is a weird to me, he's got he's not got a lengthy resume. He's largely an academy guy. I have no idea as to what his qualities as a manager are, but it was weird timing because somebody alerted me to the fact that somehow U.S. soccer allowed so much time to go by and were so, I don't know, delinquent? I don't know what the word is, about hiring a coach for the U-20s. This guy from FC Dallas that's taken the gig has less than a week before he has to take a team that he did not pick to a tournament.
Yeah.
It starts next week.
Well, somebody had to coach the team, right?
I know, how do you go all this time? I mean, the reason why I'm bringing this up is every once in a while we begin to think that maybe things have started to square and work themselves out at U.S. soccer, and then you hear stuff like this. Yeah. Because here's the thing, Andy. Not only is the tournament with a roster that he didn't pick and he has never trained with many of these guys, check out the lineup in their group. They start
Who
off,
they play against, you mean?
Yes. They have to start off by playing Brazil.
They're pretty good.
Then this country called Colombia.
They're not bad.
Not Columbus, yeah. Colombia.
Yeah, not bad.
And they end it against Mexico.
In Mexico. Well, you got to start somewhere. Mikey,
I don't even know what the tournament is. What tournament is this?
It's a tournament I hadn't heard of before. It's fairly new. It's one of those tournaments that you kind of create to get all these national teams an opportunity to play each other. So, and your theory is that Lucci is waiting for another coaching gig in MLS.
Yeah,
right?
word on the street is that Lucci is very confident and a self believer, and I credit him for that. He believes that he should be under consideration for one of the six other MLS coaching gigs that are now currently open.
I thought there was eight, but I guess there's six, yeah.
Well, there's seven, Dallas being one of them. Yeah. He certainly is not under consideration for that.
So then if you count them as seven, talking off air a little bit, and sorry to bring it up, and you're not expecting this, but I kind of, it's an interesting thought you had that if Oscar Pareja, who has to tie or win this weekend to advance...
Decision day is tomorrow.
...Orlando into the playoffs, if he doesn't, new ownership group, decent chance he might be let go.
Right.
He's looking at seven coaching options around MLS, FC Dallas being one of them. Is there a reunion of sorts?
Well, I'm going to guess that Clark and Dan Hunt would move heaven and earth to get Oscar to come back.
If they've patched things up, I don't know. I mean, I
look at the Dallas situation and go, has anything changed from when I essentially dumped the team because I was, realized I was never, and I don't think anything's changed.
No, or did he realize, it's not so bad in Dallas. He had to go to Tijuana and Orlando's kind of crazy.
On what the other opportunities are with it, and not just in Major League Soccer. He may have some opportunities in South America or back again in Mexico.
Or Bradley, let's go at LAFC. That's a pretty good gig.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a question I asked you off air and I'll ask it on air. Yeah. If LAFC was to dump Bob Bradley, would the Hunt brothers do what it takes to entice Bob Bradley to take the gig at Dallas?
I think they'd take a hard look at that. I mean, you have to at least think about it. Now, money's in, I don't know what Bob Bradley costs these days.
I'm sure Bob Bradley's on multiples of what they were paying Lucci.
And one thing you mentioned was, he'd want complete control and what happens to the technical director. And so there's issues.
Andre Zanata.
There's issues you have to work through. So ultimately, might not be a great fit, but, you'd have to look at it if you're, if you're the Hunt.
A Bob Bradley appointment would make me very happy.
Sure, of course.
I'm sorry, did you say something, Sam?
Yeah, $450,000 for Bob Bradley at LAFC this year.
How much he made?
That's his salary, yes.
Oh, I think he's making more than that.
Yeah.
Revelations Cup, by the way, is first-time tournament. They're gonna go play.
Okay. Yep. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Decision day in Major League Soccer is tomorrow at 5 p.m. It's actually, for this particular year, it's going to be nuts. Because there's all sorts of iterations of teams that could fall out of the playoffs, go into the playoffs, and where the seeding would end up tomorrow is going to be pretty bonkers in terms of that, if that's your jam. Now, here's another weird story that I saw on the Twitter the other day. You know that West Ham had a Europa League game on Thursday.
They are playing in Europe.
Now, did they win that game? Do you know? I think they did. Could you look that up for me, please?
Yeah.
Because on Twitter, somebody posted this tweet of, it's a picture
draw.
Of, it was a draw.
Yeah.
What was it? And who was it against?
Yank.
And was it did they score late, West Ham, to tie it, or how did that work?
West Ham scored late to go ahead, and then Yank had a own goal scored by West Ham to tie it.
Okay.
Late.
So in this tweet, which I have retweeted, and I'll do it again over at the Kick Around, it is a photo of just general sidewalk concrete with a railing in the foreground, and on the concrete appears to be something that looks like a piece of chewed up gum.
Okay. Somebody was rude and littered.
But no.
No.
It says, effing hell, just see some poor hammer lose his finger.
What?
As he was celebrating our second goal, took the medical staff about 10 minutes to get some effing ice. Absolutely pathetic. I hope the man's finger is saved.
I can't look.
And in the picture is what appears to be a faraway shot of what looks like gum. But in the follow-up tweet, there is a video of this, this old West Ham steward walking over, picking up the finger, and then setting it down on the railing right by the guy with the camera. And I'll be damned if it isn't the guy's finger from the middle knuckle all the way down to the fingernail.
Which finger is it? Like middle finger?
You can't tell. It looks like an index finger.
Okay,
like
that's
what
an
happens
important
to
one
the bone.
And I guess the story goes that they were able to save and turn and put the finger back on. Don't throw up in the studio. You're such a mini.
Hold up the picture. Can we
you
see it?
You want to see it, Andy?
No,
hold
no,
it up over here.
No, get that away.
Just imagine.
No.
When you look at it, Andy, just imagine it as gum.
No.
Are you really that weak stomached?
Yes. I can't.
Do you freak out at the sight of blood?
Yes, I can't. I can't get. Yeah. I can't do shots and all.
Isn't that an itis thing?
Yes, very much so.
That is definitely a finger.
I have issues.
So I don't know if, like, when the goal was scored, he got his finger caught in the fencing or in a chair. They don't really tell the story. But I don't know if I've ever... Well, you said you didn't want to look at it.
Well, I was going to, like, quickly glance.
Well, hold on.
Did you see the other angle, Peter, of the actual, like... it's the ring finger, apparently.
He's going to... Cans right there.
Yeah, it's...
This is not a bit. He is legitimately grossed out right now.
Yeah, he is grossed out. So I don't know. I mean, fans fall over and hurt themselves, but I don't know if I've ever heard of a fan losing a digit or an appendage in celebrating a goal before. That's true dedication. I don't know. I don't know how, but I'm going to guess, considering, because sometimes the folding seats, if you fall over and got it caught in a folding seat, or if some other fan with a lightsaber.
A lightsaber?
chopped it off.
What are you doing?
Just got past security with
somebody,
the lightsaber.
Or maybe they had some pruners or something and snipped it off. Maybe Luis Suarez bit it off.
Ooh.
By the way, you Liverpool fans turned on that cat really fast.
We did. Last year. Did you not hear last year when he played there? Even worse last year.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was bad last year.
I mean, on Wednesday night, you guys were really giving him the business, and he was your hero. To the
he
point
wanted
that
to leave. He wanted to go to Arsenal or something, right? I mean, remember?
That guy was calling people racial names.
Do you remember when he wanted to go to Arsenal in the middle of the season?
Trying to eat people's ears and stuff, and you guys couldn't.
He wasn't with us anymore.
Sticking by him like he was your blood brother.
He scored a lot.
And now, he's like, a pariah.
You know, we have Mo Salah.
Has he ever bitten anyone?
No.
He should start.
Mo Salah has never bitten anyone.
Well, at least not on the soccer pitch.
Yeah.
Crazy. By the way, also, if you're into looking at Twitter, during the show, somebody posted this amazing graph that I retweeted. Oh, not me. The artificial intelligence computer. It's a graph of the Premier League, and it shows how every team in the Premier League, like based on the three different, forwards, midfielders, defenders, who scores goals for each team. And Brighton and Liverpool are at the top with 80%+ of all their goals scored by forwards. But the real highlight in this is all the way at the bottom, second only to Chelsea. So, by the way, Chelsea is second to last in the percentage of forwards. Yeah. They have 23% of their goals have been scored by forwards.
Okay.
Only second worst to Leeds at like 10%. Chelsea leads the league in goals scored by defenders. 45% of their goals this season have been scored by Chelsea defenders.
I wouldn't have guessed that. Well, last game, they bagged two or three.
Isn't that crazy?
Thunder, yeah.
You got to check that chart out. We posted it over on our Twitter account.
Check it out.
Over there, as we call it, at the Kick Around. All right.
How was this Kick Around late night or after hours?
I don't know. Sam, you tell me. How are we doing?
Pretty successful. I mean, we had Daniel. We talked about a severed finger. I mean, I think those are all the benchmarks of a successful show.
That makes us... All right. So, by the way, we didn't mention this today. We don't have Josh for the first time.
Yeah.
Today we have EA. Now, EA, are you going to be the full-time dude in this gig?
Who knows?
Huh?
Who knows?
Oh, who knows? Oh. Okay. It's a who knows.
Nobody knows.
He doesn't want it.
Hey, well done today, EA, by the way.
Thank you.
What a nice voice EA has.
We've quickly forgotten about Josh.
You have. Your willingness to throw him aside like Luis Suarez is just disappointing.
Josh is very special, and his team did us a huge solid today.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad at him for that.
Huge solid.
I needed that.
All right, well, that would finish up another fun-filled edition of America's favorite soccer segment known as The Dribble. All right, well, we've done it once again, Andy. We have made it through a fantastic episode of The Kick Around.
Knuckles.
All right. I don't know if we'll be back next week because it is international break. There's a possibility there will not be a Kick Around next weekend. We'll just have to wait and see. But we'll pay attention to Twitter and listen to the station because if there is a watching party on Friday night, it'll be all over the station and all over the social media, and we'll expect you to be there. How about that? All right. Thank you, Jacob, for tickers. Thank you, Sam, for producing the show. And thank you, EA. Job well done. And what a cool name, EA. P1s, we love and adore you. Go on. Get stuck in. Win your 50s.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station.